Okay, this is once again an after-the-fact studio recording of a Sunday school lesson because we had some technical difficulties getting the recording during the Sunday school hour. So we're beginning in the book of Psalms, Psalm 119, and a verse that you should well be familiar with, Psalm 119, longest chapter in the Word of God, 176 verses, all but two make direct reference to God's words, law, his commandment, his statutes, his judgments. And it's an expression of man's love for God's word. And he says this in Psalm 119, 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." God's word is given for the purpose of giving us guidance and direction as we walk through life, to show us the steps that we should take, to instruct us in the path that we should follow. God's word is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. In Psalm 119 and verse number 130, the psalmist prayed, "The entrance of thy words giveth light," he said, "give understanding unto the simple." In verse 133 is the prayer, "Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me." God, help me to use the Bible as a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. God, show me where I should walk. Teach me how I should walk. And Lord, help me to walk where the Bible says I should walk and how your word says that I should walk. This is stated over again in the book of Proverbs, chapter 6, verse 23, a great cross-reference to Psalm 119:105. The Bible says in Proverbs 6:23, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life." So God's word is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path, but specifically in God's word, he has given us commandments. He has given us laws. He has given us the standard of right and wrong, commandments, thou shalt and thou shalt not. And those are for the purpose of guiding us through life. So here is the principle, here's the truth, here's the thought in putting those scriptures together. The Bible is not just a theology textbook. The Bible is not just a collection of facts about God, a collection of facts about spiritual things. The Bible is not solely given for our information. Now, in the Bible, God does reveal himself and teach us what it is that we need to know. But the Bible is more than a textbook. The Bible is more than a collection of facts. The Bible is a roadmap. The Bible is a guidebook. Somebody has used the acrostic. The Bible is basic instructions before leaving earth. And oftentimes when you make a significant purchase, a large purchase, an appliance, a vehicle of some sort, a new piece of technology, it will come with a user's manual, an owner's manual, instructions on how to set it up, how to use it, how to fix it if it breaks. And life is that way. It comes with an owner's manual. It comes with a user's manual. God has given us everything we need to know to set life up properly, to use life properly, to correct the mistakes that we make, to fix the problems that we create. The Bible is our user's manual, our instruction manual for making it through this life in a way that pleases God, in a way that allows us to enjoy his blessing to the fullest extent. So it's a lamp to our feet, it's light to our path. The prayer is, God, order my steps in thy word. Help me to learn it, help me to read it, help me to study it, help me to know it, but not just for intellectual stimulus, not just for the purpose of winning an argument, not just for the purpose of bloating my brain with facts and with knowledge, but for the purpose of applying the Bible to my daily life. You see, we're supposed to hear the word of God, Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We're supposed to read the word of God, 1 Timothy 4:13, till I come, give attendance to reading, Isaiah 34:16. Seek ye out the book of the Lord and read, Deuteronomy 17:19. The king was to handwrite a copy and read therein all the days of his life. supposed to hear the Word of God. We're supposed to read the Word of God. We're supposed to memorize the Word of God. Psalm 119:11, Thy Word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against Thee. We're supposed to study the Word of God. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We're supposed to do all these things so that the Word of God saturates our souls. Colossians 3:16, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. But the reason we're supposed to hear it, the reason we're supposed to read it, the reason we're supposed to memorize it, the reason we're supposed to study it, the reason we're supposed to saturate our souls with the Word of God is that it's going to have an impact on the way that we live our lives. So that God's Word can work in us and work through us and flow from us. James 1:22 says that we are supposed to not only be hearers of the Word, but we're supposed to hear the Word so we can become doers of the Word. We're supposed to hear it and read it and study it so we can learn what we're supposed to do. And then we're supposed to take it and put it into practice. Paul said of the believers in Thessalonica that they received the Word of God as it is in truth God's Word, not as the Word of men, and that it effectually worked in them when they believed it. So God's intention is for the Bible to impact our lives on a daily basis in the sense that it is the guiding influence. It is the rule by which we live. It is the filter for all of our thoughts and our desires. It is the ultimate factor in all of our decision-making. It is a lamp to our feet. It is what orders and guides our steps through life. That is why God gave us His Word. It shows us how we can have eternal life. These things are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And God definitely gave us His Word for that purpose. Praise the Lord. We can read the Bible and find out what happens when this life is over. But it's not just about what happens when this life is over. The Bible is given to guide us every step along the way from the point of salvation until we enter glory. God willing, that's a considerable length of time. And salvation is not just about what happens when we die. It's about how we live on a daily basis and a life that is guided and directed by the Word of God. It's not a bad life, it's a good life. God's communication to us, His revelation of Himself to us, it's another proof of His love, but that holds true for His commandments and His instructions as well. It is proof that God loves us, that He has told us how to live, because He knows the best way to live, and He wants us to have the best life possible. And so the Bible is given, and it needs to impact the way that we live, the way that we think, the way that we speak, the way that we choose on a daily basis. So here's the question that we come to in this series of lessons, beginning with this one and running for at least a few weeks' time. How is it that I take the truth contained in the Word of God and I make it a part of my daily life? How can I use the Bible as a lamp to my feet and a light to my path? How can I order my steps in God's Word as the psalmist prayed? How do I take the truth of Scripture and make application? How do I take the principles of God's Word and put them into practice in my daily life? How do I allow the Bible to be the rule by which I live? And that's a great question. That's an important question. It's one that we're going to explore together for the next few weeks. And much of the information we'll cover has come from two really excellent resources that I had come across somewhat recently, one of which we passed out to all of our families in the teen class right before the end of the year. That book was called How to Build Your Own Biblical Standards and Convictions by Pastor Clint Cavanaugh, who is a mentor to Brother Joel Haynes, our missionary on the Navajo Reservation. If you didn't get one of those, let me know. We'd like to make sure that everybody in our church family has one. Then there's another book I came across even more recently, read it, really enjoyed it, and definitely going to add it to the reading list, the recommended reading list for next year. It's a book called A Principled Life. It's by Pastor R.B. Ouellette. And those books focus on this question. How do I take what the Bible says and apply it, put it into practice, use it to guide me through life and all the choices and decisions that I have to make? Let's go to the back of the book of Proverbs once again, Proverbs chapter 2 and verse number 6, as well as Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10. There are three principles, three terms that show up over and over again throughout the book of Proverbs. We've discussed them before. We'll discuss them again. It factors into our topic of study this morning. And those three principles are found not only all throughout the book, but each of those in each of these verses together in one place. Proverbs 2, verse number 6, "For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." That's Proverbs 2, 6. We have wisdom, we have knowledge, we have understanding in Proverbs chapter 9. And verse number 10, the Bible says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." So three terms, three concepts that all work together: knowledge and wisdom and understanding. Knowledge is the what? The what? The fact, the information, the truth. Understanding is the why. And wisdom is the how. Knowledge is the what, understanding is the why, wisdom is the how. Now, here's why that's so important, that we pursue all three, that we have all three, that we gain all three. Because the Bible's a big book. It's 66 books, it's 1189 chapters, it's 31,102 verses, and it's everything God wanted to say to man, it's everything God needed to say to man, it's everything we need to know to have eternal life, to enjoy abundant life. God inspired it, he recorded it, he preserved it, and we have it all bound together in one book, God's Word, the Holy Bible. What a blessing, and we can spend our entire lives reading it and studying it and listening to it and barely scratch the surface of mining the depth of the riches of the truth that God's Word contains. There is no other book like it on the face of the earth. And yet, for all that the Bible does say, for every issue that the Bible does address, for all of the verses God gave us in His Word, the Bible does not directly address every single question that man asks. The Bible does not directly address every single issue that arises in life. The Bible does not give a specific answer for every single decision or every single situation that I might find myself in. And the Bible tells me everything I need. The Bible answers every question that needs to be asked, but it doesn't necessarily do so directly or in detail. Here's what I'm saying. If you have a word that represents an issue, either in society or in culture, in your personal life, you're not necessarily going to be able to go to concordance and find that word in the concordance. Now, there's a Bible truth for everything. There's a Bible principle for everything. There might not be a specific Bible verse for everything. Do you understand? So we have knowledge, we have the what, we have the understanding, that's the why. We have to be obedient in order to gain the understanding. The understanding doesn't come before the obedience, it comes after the obedience. But what we need is wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is better than rubies. Wisdom is better than gold. Wisdom is better than silver. Wisdom is better, Proverbs says, than anything you can compare it to. Why? Because wisdom is the how. Wisdom is taking the knowledge I have of what God's Word says and using it to make the right choices and the right decisions in my life. You see, the Bible contains the truth that I need, the doctrine that I need, clearly spelled out in God's Word, but I need wisdom to make application. So let me give you some terms. These terms aren't necessarily from the Bible. They help us wrap our minds around this question of how to use the Bible to guide and direct our steps in daily life. And those terms are principles, convictions, and standards. We're going to talk about those three: principles, convictions, and standards. We're going to note the progression from one to the other, and it's really important that we understand this. A principle, first of all, is a Bible truth that I must live by. The principles of God's Word are non-negotiable. The principles of God's Word are unchanging. The principles of God's Word are the same for everyone. The principles of God's word must be extracted from the scripture, but they are inherent to the scripture. And that's the most fundamental, the most basic building block. This is the foundation for taking God's word and applying it to my daily life. I start with the principles. And God's word does not directly address every situation. God's word contains principles that I need to apply to every situation that I face. And those principles are clearly laid out. Now, I need to study, I need to read, I need to memorize, I need to hear preaching so that I can know what those principles are, so that I can draw upon those principles. But the principles are the truths that we must live by, unchanging, non-negotiable, same for everybody. But built upon the principles, we have then convictions. A principle is the Bible truth we must live by. A conviction, secondly, is a personal belief based upon a Bible principle. The principle answers the question, what does God say on the matter? The conviction begins to answer the question, what does this mean for my daily life? See, convictions have to do with discerning the difference between right and wrong, making choices between what I will do and won't do. And because of this Bible principle, I now have this definition of what's right and what's wrong. Because of this Bible principle, I now know what I should do, what I shouldn't do, where I should go, where I shouldn't go, whom I should associate with, whom I should not associate with. A conviction is a firm belief about how I should live, about how I should think, about how I should speak. It's based on a Bible principle. Because the Bible says this, this is what is right and this is what is wrong. That's a conviction. Conviction. And then that leads thirdly to, so conviction, the very foundational building block, the principle, the very foundational building block, built upon the principle, I have a conviction, a personal belief, a firm belief based on that Bible principle. Then on top of that, I have a standard, which is a rule I impose on myself to help me keep my convictions. Principle, what the Bible says, conviction, what I believe is right and wrong, standard, the boundaries I've established in my life to help me keep my convictions, to help me live by what I believe is right and wrong based on what the Bible said. The standard is a personal rule I impose on myself to help me keep my convictions. Let me read you a passage from How to Build Your Own Biblical Standards and Convictions. Bible standards must follow a logical line. Scripture principle yields a conviction. And a conviction must suggest a standard. You see, here's the situation. Christians often have no idea why they live the way they do, other than they were told to do that in church. They were told to live that way in church. They were made to behave in a certain manner, dress in a certain manner, listen to a certain type of music, take in or reject certain forms of entertainment. That's just what they were told. That's just what was expected, but they don't know why. And that's a problem, because when you grow up and you move out of your parents' home and you get out of the youth group and you're on your own and you're an adult and you're responsible for your own decisions, you're gonna have to know why. You're gonna have to know what you believe and why you believe it, or it's not gonna hold weight. It's not going to last. It's not gonna stand in the face of the opposition that is certainly going to come when you're out in that world. Listen, we live in the world. We're not of the world, but we're in the world. We're going to come face to face with the world in order to fulfill our obligations that we have in life. Young men, you're going to have to get a job. You're going to have to provide for your family. You're going to have to rub shoulders with people who don't live the way you do, who don't approach life the way you do, who don't have the same beliefs and standards and convictions that you do. You can expect, young man, you can expect, young lady, as you grow up, for your lifestyle to be questioned, for people to want to know why you dress the way you do, why you are separate, why you're different, why you can't go here, why you can't listen to that. People are going to ask you questions, and you better have an answer. And so we start with the principle. The principle yields the conviction. The conviction leads to a standard. If you have no convictions, you can be sure it's only a matter of time until you have no standards. Let me continue. Another selection, this one from Principled Life by Brother Ouellette. The process for developing personal standards or guidelines involves three steps. Number one, we establish the Bible principle. What does God say on the matter? Number two, we form a conviction. What do I believe this teaches for my daily life? Number three, we set a standard. What should I do to keep my conviction? So again, here's the progression. Scripture yields a principle which leads to a conviction, which leads to a standard. To state it another way, we've got the Bible, the Word of God, and it reveals some truth. And based on that truth, I form a belief about right and wrong. And that belief is then translated into rules that I have established for myself about how I am going to live. I make my choices ahead of time, based on what I believe, based on what the Bible says. Okay, so it's principle, conviction, standard. It's truth, belief, rule. And it's important that we do attach our behaviors to Bible principles, Bible truths. But it's also important that we make sure that the Bible truths take this progression to where they actually influence our daily life. They're actually worked out in the way that we live and our mindset and our approach and our attitude. Now listen to this. Standards can become Pharisaical when a Christian believes his specific standard, that is the rule he sets for himself to help him keep his convictions based on Bible truths. Standards can become Pharisaical when a Christian believes his specific standard makes him holier than those who don't practice it. If we elevate standards to the level of Bible truth or use them as a benchmark for spirituality, we've become like the self-righteous Pharisees of the Bible. That is why Christ condemned them. He said, you've elevated the doctrines of men above the commandments of God. Now, it wasn't a problem for them to establish rules to live by. It's that the rules that they live by became the standard of righteousness instead of the rules that God had established to live by. So you become a Pharisee if the choices you make for your life based on the Word of God and how you're going to put it into practice, if those become the standard by which you judge everybody else. But at the same time, you got to balance this because you can't properly maintain Bible principles if you don't establish some standards in your life. And here's what I'm encouraging you, young people specifically, you've got to learn the standards that your church has, the standard that your parents have, standards that your family has. You better attach those to a Bible principle, and eventually you're going to have to form your own convictions, your own standards, because the standards of others are not going to last the duration of your lifetime. 2 Timothy chapter 2:15 emphasizes this point, I believe. 2 Timothy 2:15, we've cited already, but take a closer look. 2 Timothy 2:15, the Bible says, study to show thyself. Now, this isn't just given to the pastor, the Sunday school teacher, it's given to the Christian. Study to show, next word, thyself approved unto God. A workman that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Why would you be ashamed? Because God does not approve of your life. Why would God not approve of your life? Because you didn't live your life the way he told you to. You better study and find out how God told you to live so that you can live that way, so that God is pleased with your life and you don't have to be ashamed when you stand before him. So, but again, the principle of study is not just to become a scholar, a theologian, one who can argue with every cultist and win the argument. Listen, it's great to know the Word of God, but the purpose of knowledge is to be able to grow in wisdom. You see, you can't have wisdom without having knowledge, but if you have just knowledge and not wisdom, God does not approve of that. The real purpose of study has not made its way into your life. I gain knowledge so that I can know how to live. Okay? So there are three requirements for setting your own biblical standards. You got to have your own. And there's three requirements for developing those. And we'll end with this. Number one, you got to love Jesus enough to want to please him. Do you see that in the verse? Study to show thyself approved unto God. Do you want God to approve of your life? Are you concerned with what God thinks of the choices you make and the attitude that you have and the mindset that you carry and the vocabulary that you use and the way that you spend your time and your money and your talents? Are you concerned with God, with finding God's approval? So many are seeking after, living for man's approval. The fear of man brings a snare. But whoso put his trust in the Lord shall be safe. So the first step, and maybe why many don't make this progression, is you've got to love Jesus enough to want to please him. Do you? Do you love the Lord? Do you recognize the vastness of his love for you? And can you not see that we love him because he first loved us, and his love for us ought to create in us a love for him that we ought to respond in kind? The Lord's love that he showers upon us, and that love ought to be shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. We've got to love Jesus enough to want to please him. Number two, we've got to know the Bible well enough to know what pleases him. How am I going to please somebody if I don't know what they like? How are you going to please the Lord if you don't know what he approves of? That's why knowledge is important. So we've got to love Jesus enough to want to please him. We've got to know the Bible well enough to know what pleases him. And thirdly, we've got to have enough Christ-like character to make it real every day. There's some discipline that's involved. There's some commitment that's involved. There's some dedication here that's involved. There's some character, just doing right because it's right. But I want to do right because I love the Lord, and I want him to be pleased with my life. And so I'm going to take the Bible and use it to find out what pleases him so that I can do that. And I have to make some choices based on what I read about what's right and what's wrong. And then those choices about what's right and what's wrong is going to have to be reflected in some decisions that I make, some lines that I draw, some boundaries I establish, some standards that I set for myself. But what's it all about? Allowing the Word of God to be a lamp to my feet, light to my path. Allowing my steps to be ordered in God's Word. Allowing his commandments and his law to instruct me. And it's a great life. And God's Word will never, never fail you. And so we'll pursue this in the next few weeks. How is it that I take God's Word and apply its truth to my life? I've got to start with the principle. Let that lead to a conviction. Let that lead to a standard. Father, thank you, Lord, for giving us your word and making truth so clear and giving us, Lord, what we need to make it through this life. This world's a dark, dark place, and we certainly need your light to guide our way. Lord, it is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Help us, Lord, to trust you with all our heart, lean not on our understanding, acknowledge you in all our ways so that you can direct our paths. And we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.